Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
So good to see you all today. Hey, I just want to say, before we dive into the message today, a massive thank you again for Rock Nations, everybody that served and was involved. Come on, give yourselves a round of applause. Absolutely amazing. Over 250 volunteers making that happen. The stories are still coming in of the lives changed, the salvations, the things that happened in young people's lives. So good on you, church. Thank you so much. Hope you've recovered. I know it was a big effort, but it was worth it. Amen. Amen. So good to have Light Church with us, and really pleased that you could join us. Rachel, you did confuse me when she said, turn around and grab your pot. I mean, that usually means something else in Bradford, so I was a little bit worried about that, but she meant the communion cup, it's fine. We're going to start this message today with a little bit of education. Give me a shout if you are under 30. Right, you're about to hear a sound that you may never, ever have heard before. Because if you are over 30, you have become attuned to this sound. You know what this is. If you're under 30, it may well be you have never heard this sound in your life. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Yes. Yes. What is it? Dial-up internet. Wow. Yes, back in the day, guys, there was this thing where if you wanted some internet, you had to plug a wire. You had to unplug your phone first. You can't do it when you're on the phone. People are nodding. We remember this. You unplug the wire. You plug the wire in to summon the internet. And you do this special dial, and so you ask the supercomputer somewhere, can I have some internet, please? And it makes these funny noises, and it comes down the wire. And about 10 minutes later, you're able to read the news article that you wanted to read. Remember that?
Yes.
Anybody under 30 remember that? No. Oh. A few 29-year-olds just sneaking in. Here's another sound. This is a little bit more niche, but maybe if you grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, this is probably a sound, you're probably familiar with. Here we go. Is there more? Is that it? Okay. It sounds very much like the music they play at Rock Nations on a Friday night to me. But where's the tune? But no, that is the sound of a Commodore 64 loading. Does anybody remember Spectrums or Commodores or a few of us were too ashamed? This guy's was in before Apex Legends, before Fortnite came out, before even Call of Duty. We had these games, and what you would do, you would get a tape. I've lost some of you straight away. You get a tape, guys, and you put it in the tape player and you press play. It makes that kind of sound. And 10 minutes later, you can play one level of your computer game. Because if you complete that level, guess what? Another 5 minutes of that. That is the world we used to live in. Mind-blowingly slow. Our world has got so much faster. We get frustrated. If I go on a web page on my phone now and it hasn't loaded within about 20 seconds, I've given up. Just give in. We live in a world that's just, everything is moving so much faster. Even our food is faster. Any McDonald's fans in the house? Few that choose not to admit it. You go to McDonald's, you just don't want to hear those words. I've gone, I just want an apple pie, guys. I just want a hot apple pie from McDonald's. And then you get to the window, you've paid your money, you go to the next window, and they dare to say those words. Can you go and wait in bay one, please? No, I want my apple pie now, because I want fast food, I want it instantly. We don't like to wait for things. instant society. I remember when I was growing up and going to school, if I wanted to find information about something, my parents had invested in a whole array of encyclopedias. Anybody? Right. Or if you didn't have it in your house, you had to go to this thing and it was full of books. It was called a library, guys. And you'd go and you would take the time to actually go there and get the information. The amount of information that we have access to now is unbelievable. In our communications, even emails have become too slow. I just want to DM you now. I just want to get you instantly. Everything has become on demand. Even our TV. TV now, have you caught up with a new series? I won't recommend any because you might judge me. But there's a few good ones that I'm watching. Hi, Jack. And back in the day, if a program was on, let's say, BBC Two at 8:30, and you would go to the school the next day and go, oh, did you see that program? And you went, no, that's it. You are never going to see that program now. You've missed it. Unless you wait and you keep looking through the Radio Times when there's a repeat on. Because we're just so used to it in this day. If I want to watch it, I want to watch it all now. I want to watch it immediately, and I need everything on demand. The reason I say that is not just for a little nostalgic trip. The reason I say that is we live in an instant, on demand, I expect it now society. And if we are not careful, that is going to creep into our Christian walk and into our spirituality. We are in danger of losing the power to wait. We are in danger of losing the power in God to persevere. We're in danger of losing the ability to just hold and wait. Why? Because the world is training us to have everything instantly. We all know that our faith in Jesus is countercultural. Jesus was very countercultural. In fact, it got him killed. He stood up and he said a lot of things that people didn't like. He would say, you've heard it said, but I'm going to tell you. And he spoke to the powers and he spoke to the society and the structure of the world around him. And he brought another way. We too are walking in that other way. And so we step in and we want to trust in God, but sometimes it doesn't happen immediately, does it? Would you agree? Sometimes it doesn't happen straight away. But the problem is our society is then telling us, well, hang on a minute. Maybe God doesn't work. Or maybe I'm doing it wrong. No. It's just we're expecting an instant result. And that's not how God's economy works, which I want to show you through his word. Our ability to persist, to endure, to persevere, to have patience, it's being counted. It's not encouraged in our world. So, for example, we're in a job and that job's getting tough. The world just says, well, just quit. If it's tough, just quit. Because, well, that's clearly too hard for you. Well, it's affecting me and it's making me, it's I find it difficult. And, poor you. You just need to get out of there and move on and find something new. Or we actually have to stand by the fact that Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. Now, that's not, it's not a cheery promise for a Sunday morning. But, we are, little newsflash, you are never going to live a life without challenge. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much you think you've made it, no matter how good you feel your relationships are, life has challenge in it. And could it be that the challenge you're facing at work is about God doing something in you, in your character, in your personhood, in your faith, in your spirituality, that is actually building you for the future that God wants you to lead? He's actually strengthening you for what's ahead. Now, of course, there are times where you're in a bad situation and you need to get out. But I think often our world just says, as soon as it gets difficult, we just need to quit. And I want to talk to us today about perseverance, that ability to persist. Our divorce rate in this country is around 42%. Almost half of marriages fail. And again, I'm not saying that, if there's an abusive situation, I understand, I want you to be safe. But at the same time, there's a point where sometimes we have to fight for some things. Marriage, again, another newsflash, and I'm bringing you all a great encouragement today. Marriage isn't always easy. It's life. We go through challenges because we're not, none of us are perfect. But again, the world just says, well, if it gets too hard, you just quit. You just quit. You just step back. No, no, no. We've got to, there's some points in our life where we just have to stand and persevere. It could be something in ministry, a calling, and you've stepped in and then you've got into it and you've thought, this isn't what I thought it was supposed to be. Oh, this is, you've got to deal with people. And can I shouldn't say this to you, but people are complicated. And anybody agree? Sometimes we can be a bit complicated, can't we? Me included. But we are called to enduring faith. We are called to meet the challenges that are part of this world so God can do something on the inside of us to steer us through. Our goal cannot be life without trouble. Our goal has to be intimacy with Jesus and his Holy Spirit so he can walk through it with us. Our faith is being refined like gold. And how do things get refined? They go through fire. They go through fire. It can be a painful process, but what comes out on the other side is valuable and is of high worth. And I know it might not seem like it, but I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you in your perseverance today. I want to encourage you in your waiting. Maybe you're still waiting for a breakthrough. Maybe you were waiting for a breakthrough, but you've given up on it. You've said to God, I just don't think it's going to happen anymore. I know you're faithful to everyone else, but I'm just not sure I can hold on. And I want to look you all in the eye today and say, hold on. Just hold on. I want to encourage you to persevere. We're going to show it in the word. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Just because it hasn't arrived yet doesn't mean that it's not on the way. He is faithful to his word. And if he said it, he will accomplish it. I can't tell you what the timing of it, but he is faithful. Amen. So the title of my message today is The Power of Perseverance. The Power of Perseverance. A few weeks ago, Shirley was talking about Caleb. Remember Caleb in the Bible? He's one of the spies that goes into the promised land, the people of God. And God's told him, you're going to go to this place of great great promise, of great prosperity and blessing. You're going to go there. And they send some spies into the land, and 10 of them come out and say, oh, it's great, but it's really scary, guys, and there's giants, and we can't do it, and it's far too difficult. But Joshua and Caleb come back and say, I see all that, but we're going to do it. I see all that, but we can surely do this. And yet we fast forward on his life. 40 years later, this guy is still wandering around in a desert, not in the promised land. 40 years later. In fact, it takes him to the age of 85 till he receives his promise. I'm really praying that we don't need to wait till 85 to receive some of the promises that God has for us. But my point is this. Caleb, when you look at it, and Shirley made some great points from Caleb's life and his diligence and his faithfulness, but the thing about Caleb that I take from the story is he just kept showing up. He just kept showing up. You know, he would have been well within his rights. You know, year one, hey guys, we're going to receive the promised land. Let's go. Year one, the people are complaining. The people are still negative. And he's thinking, guys, we can do it. And they're complaining to Moses and they're building golden calves and then having arguments and they're doing naughty things and it's all in numbers and you can read about it. It's all happening. And Caleb the whole time's going, can we just go now? Can I go and receive my promise now? So on year one, right, guys, we're going to get this done, are we? Year two, year three, year four, year 39. You can forgive him for being discouraged, for being dissatisfied, for just giving up and saying, well, God's failed me, for just stepping out of the promise and saying, well, I'll just give up on that. I'm just going to, just don't believe it anymore. But no, at the age of 85, when his moment comes, he still stands forward and goes, this is my land, by the way. This is the land that you promised me. 80% of success is just showing up. And sometimes we just got to keep showing up, keep being faithful. Some of you in here are about to throw in the towel. I felt God tell me that today there'll be people walking in here and you're about there. You're like, I'm on year 39 and I'm going to give in. Could it be that your breakthrough is just around the corner? Could it be that if we just hold the line, stand your ground, hold on to faith, that actually your breakthrough is just around the corner? Let me show you some scriptures in the Bible. Let's go Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament, Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. Notice the word that I waited patiently, but then I got distracted and I just went on TikTok instead. No. I waited patiently for the Lord. There's something happening is what I want you to see in the patience. God is doing something in that moment. Isaiah 30 verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. There is power in your waiting. I know it feels like nothing's going on, but God is looking and there is power. There is blessing as we wait. Isaiah 40 verse 31, one that you know probably very well, but those who hope or wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. All through the Bible, doesn't say, pray and instantly you will be blessed. Wait briefly on the Lord and immediately see the turnaround of the situation. No. There's something that we have to learn. There's something that Isaiah was showing us that through the Psalms we've seen, and it comes over into the New Testament. I could read to you from Romans. I'm going to dive in at James. James 1 verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, another cheery verse, because you know that the testing of your faith, watch this, testing of faith produces perseverance. And when perseverance finishes its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. Just think about that backwards. Who would like to be mature and lack nothing? Anybody? If every hand's not up, I'd be surprised. We all want to be, I want to feel like I lack nothing. I've got full maturity, full confidence in God, full trust, fullness of faith. I want to be there. So if we take it backwards, how do we get there? To do that, to get that maturity, it only comes through perseverance. But how do we get the perseverance? We get perseverance when our faith is tested. So the testing of faith builds perseverance, builds maturity. So backwards, our maturity comes from persevering. Why? Because your faith is being tested. So if your faith is being tested now, that's why it says we should have joy. Because you're about to find something in God that you didn't know before. You're being built towards the fullness of God that he has for you that no other way can do. It's only by the testing of our faith. Your perseverance is not passive. It might feel like nothing is happening, but your perseverance is not passive. It is the very act of faith that is leading you to your breakthrough. Your posture of patience could be the very thing that pushes you over the line to see what God is going to do for you. Amen? Gosh, time goes quickly when you're having fun. We're going to read from Joshua, because you know I like doing that. And Caleb isn't mentioned in this story, but I want us to jump across to this story because I think it just shows something in God, and there's some great takeaways I'd love us to see about this perseverance, this just holding on to what God has called us to. It's in Joshua 6. We're going to read about Jericho. Now, obviously, as I said, Caleb isn't mentioned here, but this is about Joshua, the other spy that went in with him, and Caleb was very much part of this. But Joshua 6, verse 1, they've come across the Jordan, they've just got into the promised land, this place of promise and blessing, and the first thing they see is a massive city. With massive walls. Not like York-sized walls. Okay, I know York has city walls, but these things were a whole other level. Okay, this fortified cities. Verse 1, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. I'll just stop there. That's interesting. They weren't just barred because that's what they did on a Thursday. They were barred because they saw the Israelites coming and they were like, we are on purposely going to fortify the city against the people that are coming. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. A few observations I want to pick out before we pray together. First one is this. I love the language in verse 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see. See. I'm asking us again to see from the Lord's perspective. Where you have let go, where you feel like giving up, where you feel that discouragement of that thing that you're holding on to see the change in. I want to ask you again, can we see with God's eyes? Because again, when Joshua looked up, God's saying, see? And Joshua's saying, must be thinking, well, I see a massive fortified city with no way in. And God's going, see? And Joshua's going, yeah, see. But he's saying, I want you to see with the eyes of faith, because then God says, see that I have delivered Jericho into your hand. Not I will deliver, but past tense, I've already done it. I have delivered this city into your hands. Well, it doesn't look like it, but there's facts and there's truth. They're not always the same thing. Sometimes the doctor gives us some facts, but we live for a higher truth. Sometimes our bank account gives us facts, but we live by a higher truth. It's so important we get fixated on what God is saying, not necessarily what the facts around us should say. We need to be aware of the facts. We can't just go, oh, there's no city, there's no city, there's no city. There is. There's a massive city. But it doesn't change what God is saying about it. God had already done it. We need to see the facts, but choose what God says about it. The second thing I want to pick out from this is the strategy that God gives them is ridiculous. You can imagine Joshua's been with, this is how my head goes, Joshua's been with the Lord, and everybody's like, well, Joshua's usually good with this stuff. You know, he's done great up to this point. So Joshua, what's the plan? Well, lads, we're going to walk around the city. Yes. Oh, that's it. Did the Lord maybe tell you about how to draw the battle lines? Should we dig some trenches? Did he give you, like, download you some instructions of how to build a big new war machine that we could take these walls down? And because later we see that God did some of those things. He gave them strategy, he gave them battle plans. But their first battle, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. And I find that really fascinating. Instead of a great battle, because the other thing, he could have just sorted it for them. He could have just said, guys, stand back. I'm going to bring down fire from heaven. I'm going to send an earthquake and I'm going to tear the city apart to show you that I am God. But no, God didn't do any of those things. Instead, he wanted them to go on a journey of obedience, of faith, and of patience. Because he said, we're going to walk around the city. And again, I believe for us, sometimes we think, God, can you not just take them out, Lord. Just get rid of them. Can you not just send fire from heaven, Lord? Can you not just change it, Lord? Just put some zeros on my bank account, God. That would just be fantastic. And God's saying, of course you can. Well, can you then please? No, because there's a better way. Because this test of your faith right now is building some perseverance. And this perseverance is helping you to be fully mature and lacking nothing. So I know you want the shortcut, but actually the long way around is going to strengthen you and it's going to help you to be who I need you to be for my glory, says the Lord. So he gives them this test and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do the worst battle idea ever. Let's just walk around the city. So here's my thought. They walk around day one. Here we go. I found it interesting. Joshua doesn't tell them how many days they're going to walk around for. So I wonder if they were like, guys, he's told us to walk around the city. Watch this. Go, guys. Watch this. Oh, you'll never believe what God's going to do. You're not supposed to talk. Okay. Shall we have tea? Yeah, let's come back. We'll come back to this tomorrow. We'll come back to this. Going the wrong way. Right, surely now here we go. Shall we? They kept going. Day after, I wonder at what point the smile dropped from their face. Seriously, because day three is a bit more like, we've been here before now. This was fun yesterday. It was a laugh. Day one was, we were all giddy. Now it's just, my legs are getting tired now. This just feels like hard work. And I'm sure something's supposed to have happened by now because nothing's happening. And I keep walking around and we keep going and nothing is happening. And some of you feel like this today. You feel like you've been walking and walking and walking and nothing is happening. And here's the thing I felt God speaking to me about. We love, some of you think this message is going to end with us doing a massive shout of praise because on day seven the walls fell down, which was very tempting because we all love a good shout in church. But it's not. Because we love that moment and we love to shout and walls come down. We even said it. It's the shout of praise that brings Jericho down. Yeah, yeah, it is. But only because of this. Only because we valued this. The walking, the bits that nobody sees, the steps that are going in and nothing is happening. It looks like nothing is happening again and again, but I'm choosing to keep going. I'm choosing to keep walking. I'm choosing to hold to what God has said to me. I'm choosing to stay faithful to what He's asked me to do. What has God asked you to stay faithful to? What has He asked you to hold on to? I believe He's saying to us today, hold your position. Don't retreat, don't give in, hold. Hold the line. Hold on to what God is asking you to do. As they were walking around the city, you can imagine the people inside Jericho going, what are they doing now? What are they doing now? I don't know, boss. They're just walking around. Well, do they have any, do they have swords and stuff? You're not going to believe this. Got trumpets. What, the thing, yeah. No, like nothing else. No, have they formed battle lines? No. Have they dug trenches? Have they cut off our supply lines? No. This is great, isn't it? It's the easiest ambush ever. And you can imagine that maybe, this is where my mind goes, from the tops of the walls, maybe people were shouting things at the Israelites as they walked around. And the Bible says that Joshua instructed them not to say anything as they walked around. And again, it's just my thinking, but I wonder if that's because it would have just been negative. You know, sixth time round, not knowing how many times they would have to walk around. It could have been 100 for all they know. It could have been another 40 years. who knows what would have come out, because that's why Joshua said, I think, don't talk, because the Lord instructed them, because it'll just come out negative. Oh, here we are again. Here we are, Lord, just going around. And I just believe for us, God is looking for a people who will get past the dissatisfaction, will get past the discouragement, will get past the disappointment, and will just hold on. And just says, God, doesn't matter what is said from those walls, doesn't matter how stupid this looks, doesn't matter how daft people think I am going to hold to what you have told me. I'm going to hold the line. I'm going to hold. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to keep my position. And I don't know God's timing. I don't know God's timing. I don't know whether your wall comes down on time one, time five, time six, time 300 and whatever. But I do know those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. I know those who wait on the Lord will not be disappointed. I know those whose hope is in the Lord will never be put to shame. I know that He works all things together for the good of those who love Him. I know blessed are those who wait on the Lord. I know He will renew strength when we wait on Him, when our hope is in Him and when our trust is in Him, no matter what it looks like, no matter what is said, no matter how unlikely it feels. In this instant society, I believe God is looking for a people who will stand up and say, I'm going to hold, I'm going to build, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust Him in the valley. I'm going to trust Him in the mountain. I'm going to trust Him on day one. I'm going to trust Him on day six. I'm going to trust Him when people are talking about me. I'm going to trust Him when it looks like nothing's happening. I'm going to trust Him when nothing's coming through. I'm going to trust Him when I expected and it still didn't happen. I'm going to trust Him when I thought this was how it was going to work out and it still hasn't worked out. I'm going to continue to trust Him. Never tire of doing good, for in the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Do not give up, church. Do not give up. I don't know whether you're in here and you've already given up on something, or there's something you want to throw the towel in, or maybe it feels like day one of your challenge. God is saying, hold, do not give up. I want to ask you a question today. And here's my question. What are you waiting for? And when I say that, I don't mean like, hey, what are you waiting for? Let's go. I mean, what is the thing that you are waiting for? What is the breakthrough that you are believing for? It might be for you, or it might be for somebody else in your world. What is that thing? Maybe you've put it down. Maybe you need to pick it back up again today. What is it that you are waiting for? Because in a moment, I'm going to ask us to stand. But I don't just want you to stand because I say, and do it now. I want you to stand. And when we stand, you are making a declaration. Like it says in Ephesians 6, when you've done all else, stand. I don't know how it's going to work out, God. I don't feel like I'm any clearer after this guy's rabbited on for a bit. I still don't know how it's going to work out. That's okay. But when we stand, we go, it's just a signal. It's saying back to God, I am going to persevere. Oh, devil, you thought you'd beaten me down. No. You thought you had me worn out walking around these walls. No. I'm going to go again, and 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 I'm not going to stop until I see the victory. I don't care if it takes a week, a month, a year. I'm going to stay strong. So what is that thing you are waiting for? Maybe it's your marriage. Some of you are about to give up on your marriage in here, and God is saying, hold, take your stand. Don't give up yet. Maybe it's a visa application. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a healing. What is it that you are waiting for? And all across this room, I'm going to ask us right now, I want us to stand. Stand for that thing. It says, God, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to see this through. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to believe today. I'm going to stand on your word, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just begin to thank Him. Believe that by His Holy Spirit, He's going to pour strength as He sees you. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So come on, as we stand, I believe He's going to breathe strength into you. He's going to put new hope in you. He's going to put a fresh belief and a fresh faith in you today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just start to thank Him.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.